All right, well, let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're working through 1 Samuel, and we have come right to the very edge of one of the most exciting stories in the Old Testament. And we're not actually going to get through the exciting part tonight, but we're still building, so it's all good. Last time we looked at Goliath. Remember Goliath? Most people think he was at least 9 feet 9 inches tall. Some people say as tall as 11 feet. So he was a big man, weighed 600 to 700 pounds possibly. He was a large individual, and pretty awesome sight to come roaring out from the Philistine army and coming out to challenge the Israelite army. And he'd get out there and, you know, full of himself, I'm sure, and just trying to provoke them. But he's trying to get them to send a man over to fight him. And they would fight, and whoever won, that would win the battle. Well, wasn't happening, because the Israelites were scared. And so let's pick this up in verse 12, chapter 17, 1 Samuel 17 and verse 12. And if you have found your place and are able, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's holy word? Now, David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next unto him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning, and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went, as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trench, as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the story of David. We pray you help us to glean tonight truths that we need for our lives and how to live today. And we thank you for this. I pray you'll bless each one who's here tonight. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Please be seated. Now, it's an interesting thing. They were gathered in the Valley of Elah. And if you remember, there was kind of a ravine in the middle of the valley. And so the Philistines could not use their chariots. They had the best armament. They had chariots, but they couldn't get them into action because of the hilly country and the ravine that was there in the middle of the valley. And so the kind of the picture that we see here is that the armies were coming out each day, and they were basically yelling and fighting by threatening and yelling insults and so on. But not much fighting was actually going on. So here's what we find then when David shows up. Now, if you remember, in previously we had seen that Saul, when the Holy Spirit left Saul, he began to be tormented by an evil spirit. And so they arranged for David to come and play music. He was a skilled musician. And so when he came and he played, it helped Saul to feel better. And so he had done that. And in fact, it had even been made Saul's armor bearer. But in the meantime, he's going back home. He's going back home to Bethlehem to look after his dad's sheep. And here's, I think, one of the important parts of this story. Sometimes the things that we have to do may seem insignificant. You may have jobs that you think, well, nobody really cares or sees this. Nobody really knows, and it's not that big of a deal. But you know, as a Christian, we're called to do whatever we're going to do as unto the Lord. And I don't know if you treat your boss like you would treat Jesus, but I think that's a pretty good rule of thumb. If you work for that person and you draw a paycheck, I think it's a pretty good approach to say, you know, I'm going to serve them like I would serve Jesus. And I can promise you, and I understand, sometimes you'll say, well, my boss is about as far from Jesus as you can get. I understand that sometimes that's the case. And I've had good bosses and I've had some other bosses. And, so that happens. But regardless of who they are or what they're like, if you'll approach them and attempt, through the Lord's help, to serve them and to be a blessing to them, what you'll find is it will change the whole atmosphere of that workplace. I remember when I was in college and I was working at JCPenney in the sporting goods department. We had several Christians that worked in that department. And man, it just changed that department. You know, when we had several Christians come along and start working, you know, it just changed that department, because suddenly it was fun to go to work. And people weren't griping and, you know, complaining and whining. Now, if I walked over to the shoe department, the guy who worked over there, every time I talked to him was telling me how bad everything was and how awful life was and how, you know, just always down in the mouth. Well, folks, you know, we've got that choice as a Christian. We can live like that. We can be complaining and whining and murmuring and griping and negative all the time. Or we can go into that situation and say, you know, this is not... You know, I'm not making them, they're not paying me like I deserve. Or my boss has not treated me like, you know, he probably should have. But I'm going to serve them like I would serve Jesus. And whatever God gives you to do, do it with all your heart. Whatever it is. Maybe a small job. David had a pretty small job in some ways. He was a shepherd. Tending those few sheep was what Eliab said. Now, I don't know that there was just a few. I bet there was quite a few of them, but that was just the older brother, you know, little sibling rivalry going on there. I don't know if you know anything about that. But David's character was being shaped. He was being molded. And what we need to realize is that sometimes it's in those insignificant things that we're called to do that God is shaping our character, and He's building something within us so that we'll be ready when He has something more. We'll be ready when He has something bigger. And sometimes the reason He never opens up something bigger is because we haven't allowed Him to build and shape our character now like He wants to. And so I want to encourage you, wherever you find yourself, there you are, as Yogi would say, but wherever you find yourself, pour yourself into that situation. And I know sometimes it won't all be good, but we see God doing some things in David here, and we see the result of who he is. At the same time, we see a little something about the character of Saul here. We didn't read it, but verse 11, we saw last time. Verse 11 says, "When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." In other words, Saul and all of his army. Saul is the king. I mean, he's the leader. He's the general. He's the one who's standing up and taking charge and giving leadership. Except here, he's shaking in his boots just like all the other troops are. He's afraid just as much as anybody else. Well, you know, it's not wrong to be afraid. I think often we're afraid. But what's wrong is to allow that fear to paralyze us and keep us from what God wants us to do, what God has for us. So I want to encourage you just to think about and to realize that every day God's going to bring us challenges. May not be in the form of a Goliath. But He'll bring us a challenge. He'll bring us something that will test us. Something that will push us. And, you know, the picture I have of Goliath, I mean, this big old burly guy. I don't know why, but he was hairy. You know, I mean, that's just the way I think of him. He had a lot of hair. And he didn't smell very good. I mean, I don't know that. Maybe he was the cleanest guy in the Philistine camp. But that's just the picture I have in my mind. The thought is, man, he was just this big old nasty brute of a guy. And just a beast. Well, you may not get a challenge like that. But here he had been coming out now for 40 days. Every single day. The army would come out there and they were, you know, shaking their fist at the other guys. And they were waving their spears and their swords and they were... You know, we're going to whoop you and, you know, all this stuff. And then he'd come out there and the Israelites would turn tail and run. And you know, the place they were in was kind of dictating what was happening there, but that valley. But, David, you know, has gone back to the sheep. And so his father comes. And his father says, "I'm going to send you to the army. I want you to take some food to your brothers." You know, probably in this time period, you know, the army didn't really have a food supply, a food chain as such. They didn't have, the way to provide for their army. So it was pretty much up to the folks who came, the individuals and their families, to supply food and take care of them. So that's what Jesse was doing. He sends David down to the battle. And you know, we don't know. I mean, Eliab kind of kicked him around a little bit because he said, "You just want to come see the battle." And maybe he did want to come see the battle because that's kind of a, you know, important thing for young men sometimes to want to be at the forefront of the battle. Get in there and see the fighting and know what's going on. But David is sent down there and it's been going on now for 40 days. And Saul, we see no faith in God from him. We see no attempt to ask God for help. We see nothing to indicate that he is providing any kind of spiritual leadership, that he's doing anything in terms of faith and obeying God. So, really, when you think about it, here's where the battle is won or lost. The battle is won or lost in our obedience or our disobedience. It's just pretty plain and simple. When you obey God, you're going to win a lot of battles. Now, you may get knocked down a time or two still. You may still struggle at times. But I'm going to promise you, you're going to win more battles when you obey God. When you just say, God, what do you want me to do? And when He tells you, you say, all right, Lord, you help me, and here I go. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do what you're saying. And so David comes down to the battle site. He brings the food. And you'll notice just a kind of description here. An ephah of parched corn. One thing I saw said about 5 gallons. So I'm thinking, about the size of a 5 gallon bucket. And he's carrying this corn, and he's got some loaves and some cheese. The VeggieTales story, I think, made this into some cheese pizza. That's just the raw ingredients. But anyway, we don't know what they did with it. But so he brings them there to the captain of the thousand, and they're providing for his brothers and for the other men as well. And so, it's interesting because verse 19, he says, now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. But the only thing about that is, so far I haven't seen much fighting going on, from the text. We just don't see any fighting. It's like one of those movies you go to that you keep waiting for the fight to break out. And there's just, okay, some of y'all don't go to those kinds of movies, so I understand. So here these armies are, and boy, it seemed like they're ready to fight, but yet they're waiting. Well, they're waiting on David. They're just waiting for the final piece to come into the place here. And David looked over the situation because he was there with his brothers and he was catching up with them. How y'all doing? How's it been going? Has it been hard? You had a good, good time. Have you been able to fight any Philistines yet? So what's been happening? And about that time, here comes Goliath. And he's stomping around out there, roaring and yelling and making a big racket and issuing his challenge. And you remember verse 8, he said, am I not a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And he said in verse 10, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. So David comes, and his first thought is not simply that they have an army facing them, there's opposition. His first thought is that this Philistine, he says an uncircumcised Philistine. And just meaning that he's not of God. He's not one of God's men. And he's out here challenging God's men. He said, you're the army of God, aren't you? You're the people of God, aren't you? Well, then he's out here and he's not just challenging you as individuals or an army led by King Saul, but he's challenging the armies of the living God. And David put this attack into the right perspective because he understood this was a spiritual battle. This was not simply a matter of fighting the Philistines and defeating them. There was a spiritual battle going on here. Because all through the Old Testament, the devil was trying to destroy the Jewish people. Trying to keep the Messiah from ever coming to the earth. And so here we see David comes in and Goliath comes out here and begins to make his challenge. And David hears him. And remember, we don't know, how old David was at this point. But he was probably close to being grown. He was probably a young man, but older teenager maybe. Maybe a little older than that. But not really considered you know, to be ready for anything like this. And so when all this starts happening, David has left all of his supplies with the keeper of the supplies. He's left them all there, and he comes and Goliath comes out, begins roaring and yelling and challenging. And notice what happens here. Verse 24, "And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid." And, you know, the picture I have is that one minute they're out there and they're all, you know, being big and bad and bold and strong. And then the next minute, they're running like puppies with their tails between their legs, trying to, you know, find a place to hide. And so David looks at this situation and, you know, the people of Israel, the men of Israel, verse 25, says, "Have you seen this man that has come up surely to defy Israel? Is he come up? And it shall be," you know, starts telling him, here's what's going to happen to the guy who... Now, what this tells us is they've been thinking about this. Saul had been thinking about this. Here's the only thing we see from Saul in this whole story. The only leadership we see from him is he put a bounty on Goliath's head. He said, "Whoever kills that guy, I'll take care of you. You can marry my daughter." I don't know what kind of blessing that would have been, but you know, maybe she's a really, you know, great young lady, so that might have been a real incentive. Said, "You won't have to pay tax. Your father's house won't have to pay taxes. You'll be tax free." Well, that's pretty appealing. You know, everything is promised here. The man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches. You're going to be rich. All you got to do is go out there and kill that guy. That's all you got to do. And you can't lose, because if you lose, we lose. And then we'll be their slaves. And so, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you see the and I don't know if they ever did this in the military gym, but I've seen, you know, humorously pictured where they call for a volunteer and the entire line takes a step back, except for one poor guy who's standing there, you know. But that hadn't even worked. In the Baptist church, we usually somehow finagle somebody into that job. You know, we find somebody and we you know, guilt them or manipulate. Not really. We would never do that. Well, we might do that. Okay, we have done that, but probably it wasn't good. It wasn't right. And it should have been done. But they couldn't get anybody to go out there and fight this guy. And I'm kind of understanding it. I mean, you know, a massive man like this, how do you even begin to try to defeat him? Well, I think that gives us an insight here into who David is. Verse 26, "David spake to the men that stood by him, saying..." And he had asked this question, so they're answering before he asked, really. But he had already asked this. And he says, "What's going to be done for the one who kills this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And so they were telling him all this. Well, the older brother hears him. Verse 28, Eliab comes, and his anger was kindled against David. Imagine that. Older brother, the eldest brother. And he's been trying all these years to keep his brothers in line. Some of y'all can relate to that. And so here he is. And David is coming out there, and he's just speaking his mind. He's just saying what comes to his mind. He's just saying it. And Eliab takes one look at him, and he says, "Why did you even come down here? With whom hast thou left?" You know, who did you leave those poor, pitiful little sheep with to come down here anyway? And what he's doing is he's just putting David down. He's just putting him down. Now, you've been around people like that. They will just put you down and dress you down and make you feel low and little and insignificant. Well, he said, "I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, the wickedness of your heart. You're just come down here to see the battle." And unfortunately, there wasn't much to see so far, except for Goliath rip-roaring around and snorting and stomping and scaring these guys to death. So Eliab jumps on him, but David answers, verse 29, "What have I now done?" Because, I mean, he's just being honest. What have I done? What have I done? Is there not a cause here? Is there not a reason for me to speak out or for somebody to speak out? And here's the thing we come down to in leadership. You know, so much of 1 Samuel has been about leadership. And in leadership, there has to be somebody who steps up. When everybody else is stepping back, there has to be somebody who steps up and says, "We can do this. With God's help, we can do this." There's always going to be naysayers. There's always going to be negative people around you to discourage you, to try to talk you out of things that God has put in your heart. Now, make sure it's God, you know. I mean, make sure God's the one who's speaking to you. God's the one who's giving you that direction. But once He's given you that, don't listen to those people. Don't allow them to influence you. Don't let them keep you from being a blessing to others and being an encouragement. Well, so I guess here's what we come down to here. David just didn't have any backup in him. He didn't have a reverse gear. He saw this guy and he says, "Man, we've got to take him out. This is bad. This is a reproach upon our whole nation." And well, what's the key to that? I want to give you a scripture to think about. Look at Psalm 27. Psalm 27 and verse 1. Now, it's interesting because in the story of David, we have such an insight into who he is because of the Psalms he wrote. You know, a lot of the characters, we don't have other things that they wrote or did, so we don't know that much about them, or we can't really see into their heart that much. But boy, with David, you can. And Psalm 27 is one of those Psalms that really jumps out at us. It's a Psalm that David wrote. Listen to these words. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." Well, what we see here is a young man who is not just a warrior. He's not just a fighter. Now, we'll find out more about that. He is a fighter, even though he's young. And, you know, just as I've got a picture of a Goliath in my mind, I've got a picture of David, too. My picture of David is he's kind of a short, stocky kind of guy. And he's very athletic. And he's got that hand-eye coordination. He's got, you know, all those things that just set. And I don't want to brag on him, but, you know, one of the persons I think about when I say that is Clinton. Because I don't know if you've ever been around that guy. He's got hand-eye coordination. I mean, he just grabbed things and picked things. I remember one of the years we went to One of the first times we went to the fishing camp, we were up on the White River trout fishing. And one of the young men that went with us swallowed a fish bone, got it stuck in his tonsil. And it was just sticking there. And we couldn't figure out what to do. And we were, you know, kind of despairing because once we got up there, we realized the kid was 17 years old. We didn't have permission to take him to fishing camp, much less take him to the hospital and get him treated or something. So, you know, we were kind of not knowing what we ought to do and how to handle it. And so Clinton said, well, let me just look at this. And he started looking with the flashlight. And there was that fish bone just sticking right out of this young man's tonsil. And so... Clinton said, hey, you got a pair of needle nose? And so, you know, things get pretty intense sometimes at fish camp. And we got a pair of needle nose, and Clint started reaching in there and trying to grab that fish bone and pull it out, you know, without hitting anything else. Well, the problem is the young man had a pretty active gag reflex. So, you know, it's kind of hard. You just had a second before you had to get out of there. And we were about to give up, and Clint said, let me try one more time. He just reached in there and grabbed it and pulled it out. And, well, that's kind of the picture I have here of David. He's just a guy that, man, he's got some abilities physically, but that's not the main thing. That's not the biggest thing. The biggest thing is what's inside. I mean, you can have all those abilities and not be worth shooting. You can have all that stuff and it not amount to anything. But when you've got a heart for the Lord, when you've got a heart that follows after the Lord, what a difference it makes. So David says, and I love the way he says it, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Well, that's a great word. You know, we've talked a little bit about fear in this study too. And if you're having issues with fear, I want to encourage you to take a verse like that and commit it to memory. And when fear begins to come against you, you begin to sense fear coming at you, bring out the Word of God. Remember how Jesus fought the devil when the devil tried to tempt him? What did he use? He used the Scripture. And the devil had to lead him. And so I want to encourage you, hide the Word of God in your heart, because it will strengthen you and help you, and especially in moments when you feel that attack. I mean, trot out that Scripture. You know, what I usually find is I can't think of the one that really fits that situation, and I'll usually end up quoting Jesus wept or something, something really profound. But you know what? There's meaning, there's power in God's Word. And not just that you can throw around, but it's significant. And it begins to change your thinking and your attitude, and your mind, so that you can, you know, find the things you need in His Word to help you. Well, so here we see the situation developing. Nobody's doing anything. All right? Everybody's sitting back. And meanwhile, Goliath's having a field day. He's having a lot of fun. And that's about to change. But here's the final thing I want to share with you tonight. Look in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 and verse 22. Acts chapter 13 and verse 22. And notice this statement here about David. He says, and when he had removed him, he raised, that is Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Now, those are wonderful words to be spoken of a man. You know, I don't know what you would like to have said about you long after you're gone. But think about this. 1,000 years after David had died, these words are being spoken of him. That he was a man after God's own heart and a man committed to following the Lord. So, and then notice verse 36. It says, "For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption." And just saying, David carried out God's will in his life. He did what he was... Now, he didn't do it perfectly. He didn't always do what he's supposed to do. He messed up sometimes. But he obeyed the Lord. He walked with God and God used him greatly. And he served the Lord in his own generation. And y'all, that's what we need in this generation. Is we need folks who will serve the Lord in this generation, in this time, in this place. Yes, it's wonderful to read about David and other great saints of the past. It's wonderful to read about the D.L. Moody's and the Spurgeons and you know, the great men and women of God who served the Lord, but we need people of God today to be strong for the Lord. Not to be cowed by anything that the world throws at us, but to be strong in the Lord. To say, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And so, I want to encourage you tonight, because some of you may be facing situations in your life, in school, or at work, or at home, wherever, that are challenging and it's tough. And you have a couple choices. But if you're a child of God, you can go to Him and you can pray and seek His face and His will. Find what He would have you to do. And so I want to encourage you, allow God, wherever you are today, whatever little odd jobs God has you doing now, allow God to build you and strengthen you, because what that means is He's getting you ready for something else later down the line. And we're going to close tonight with a word of prayer. And that's a very true thought there, that, you know, folks in general, we're probably smaller other than Goliath and his kin. But yeah, overall, people were, I would guess probably a tall man would be 5.5 feet tall, you know, something like that. And so David was probably not very big. And so the difference is really, it's really notable here. But David wasn't worried about that. David didn't let that defeat him. And so just understand that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And what God calls you up against, He will help you to defeat. So tonight, let's just take this moment to pray, to seek the Lord. Maybe a significant struggle you're having in your life. Some question, some issue, something that you're dealing with. And this is a good time for you to take it to the Lord and just lay it before Him. Say, "God, here I am again. And Lord, You know what I need, but here's my issue. Here's my need. And I just give this to You tonight. Ask You to carry this for me. Ask You to help me with this." So let's just bow together. And let's pray. And whatever God's laid on your heart tonight, you answer His call. It could be for salvation. It could be for any number of things. But you answer His call. Father, I thank You for every person here. And I pray You'll give grace to each one. Lord, just to know that You've made them. And Lord, you're working to build in them the faith and the strength and the courage to stand and to be strong for the Lord Jesus. So, God, just do a work in our hearts tonight, I pray. Draw us near to Yourself in this moment. And Father, we thank You. We trust You for this.